The job of a foreign correspondent, arguably the most sought after in journalism. It offers freedom, autonomy, lots of travel, and the chance to cover some really important stories. But Colleen Morrell points out that these big-name reporters are often utterly dependent on people you've never heard of. Fixers.
A local fixer is absolutely your eyes and ears on the ground. If you have to turn up somewhere at the last moment, then you hire a fixer, preferably in advance, if you've got good contacts or when you arrive. They'll get you people to interview. They've got good contacts, and that's where the editorial side comes in. They're very well connected. If they've worked as a fixer before, then they know the kinds of things you're after. They know what makes a good television story or a good print story. It's a whole range of things, you know, basically that ranges right from logistical through to, getting scoops for reporters, which happens often. Mm. People don't always admit it, but it definitely happens. And the people that I interviewed did go on to explain how they helped to get them all kinds of scoops and exclusives.
Yeah. You interviewed a number of foreign correspondents, including some Australians like Brett McLeod and Zoe Daniel and Hugh Rimmington and Matt Brown. What did they tell you that they were looking for in a fixer?
Look, very often it depended on the story. Some of the reporters on the commercial side very often thought that all they needed really was a fixer come taxi driver. And providing that's the kind of story you're after, big demonstrations, trouble, etc., then that's the kind of role people are going to give you. But if you're after really difficult, complicated political stories, then you're more likely to try and find an academic to work with or a local journalist. Local journalists were absolutely the best people that reporters wanted, just because they understand exactly what you're doing and how you're going about it and the kinds of things that make news stories.
It's interesting that the preference for other journalists, for local journalists, because although when you explain it, it makes sense. They want the understanding, especially of the demands and constraints of the television news. They want, you know, the contacts and those things. But there's another way of looking at it, isn't it? And that is that journalists want people like themselves a bit, but a bit different.
Well, this was one of the things that I came across through my examination of this area, because I hadn't really thought about it that carefully beforehand, which is that people are actually seeking out what I termed people like us. You're hunting for people who will find you the same kinds of exciting, interesting stories that we all want to investigate as journalists. And so those people are naturally going to be globalized citizens who speak good English, who've probably traveled. They have the same kinds of, you know, attitudes as you do, really. You're not going to employ somebody who's got extreme views unless you need to, just for a specific job.
There's an example in the book of Chris Clark, ABC foreign correspondent. He hired a former professor of English literature at Grozny University, not someone you'd immediately think would be a fixer.
Chris Clark, when I interviewed him, was discussing and analysing, I think possibly for Foreign Correspondent, you know, the difficult issues, political and economic issues of Chechnya at the time. And therefore, he was looking for somebody who could really explain the different layers.
Actually, the other thing I'm remembering about that particular interview was that although he had these, you know, relatively sophisticated analytical skills, he also made sure that he brought a rifle with him when they went up to the mountains.
Well, sorting out danger is a big part of being a fixer, no matter where you go. And Hugh Rimmington also talked about that quite a lot, that hiring a fixer really helped you to feel safer in terms of understanding who the different groups are in different places, sometimes just by knowing which clothes different people wear, different tribes, different people, and knowing whether you've strayed into the wrong area, etc.
Yeah, he calls that cultural interpretation. And there's something in that, isn't there?
There is. The most interesting place for me, which I honed in on, was obviously at the time it was Iraq. Basically because correspondents could no longer go there out into the streets very easily. So I honed in really on the BBC and CNN, who were two operations that were keeping people round the clock in Iraq on sort of 6-week rotations, and looked at what that meant when the journalists can't get out into the streets very much, and therefore more editorial importance was being given to the fixer.
The situation in Iraq, and it was a particularly difficult one, does highlight a couple of issues with fixers, which is that if you can't vet them in some way, or you don't have a very, very good personal recommendation, you don't know if a fixer might hold a perspective that you're not aware of that can completely shape your output.
Absolutely. And what I loved about journalists is they're not always the most self-reflexive people. I'd count myself in there as well. You know, they think that they can work out someone's political beliefs and where they're coming from very easily and deal with that, factor it in. But when I interviewed the fixers, it became quite obvious that actually the fixers did change things, or they knew of people who'd change things when it mattered to them. For example, in Iraq, you know, one of the fixers that I interviewed said, well, if we thought it was too dangerous to go to a certain place, we would say the road was closed. If we didn't like the perspective sometimes of one of the people that they wanted to interview, we would say, oh, that person's away at the moment, we can't get there. So journalists are, they're not always aware of exactly what's going on, especially if they don't speak the language and deals were being cut behind their backs that perhaps they didn't know about.
Yes. Similarly, and this is actually, in a way, it's sort of more fundamental from the fixer's point of view, you can't be sure if a fixer's under pressure from a local who's got authority or real power.
Yeah, the fixer I interviewed from Gaza said that quite a bit, that actually he came under more pressure locally from people saying to him, why does he report the story like this? Why isn't he telling the story how we would like him to? Tell him to come and interview my family. You know, there's quite a lot of pressure goes on that way as well.
Well, I want to ask you about a couple of, I suppose, stories that you highlight in which the fixers made a huge difference. I love this one. There's a story of the ITN correspondent Bill Neely getting off the plane in Buenos Aires in about 1995 and meeting, well, he described her as Mrs. Doubtfire, but she turned out to be very capable.
Yes, he said that he was very disappointed when he got to the airport and he saw this woman that reminded him of Mrs. Doubtfire, and he thought, oh, goodness, this is going to be no good at all. And he had this story that he had to get. It was Princess Diana's time and she was about to go to Argentina. And so ITN asked him to get an interview with President Menem. So he worked on that with this woman. She seemed to be quite well connected, etc. And within 24 hours, she had that story for him. And she also said, look, I've got an exclusive for you if you're interested. They're shipping out a Nazi war criminal through the airport tomorrow and I can get you an interview with him. And he did that too. He did this great story that nobody else had. And afterwards, he said to her, well, how did you get that for me? And she said, well, you know, I'm related to President Menem, so that was quite easy. And I'm a Nazi war hunter.
Right, as you do. She was an example of someone being prearranged. So he didn't know her. It wasn't a recommendation. He got off the plane and ITN had basically lined her up.
Yes, because ITN, certainly when I worked there, and I'm sure they still do today, have firm databases for fixers. And people who go out on trips are meant to update them all the time. What people used to do was after a trip, they would write up how it had worked and they might put in this person very good with a political story, not so good when I asked them to do this. Perhaps their political views are a little bit, you know, off center for us, or, you know, like that people just put all kinds of information in there, which enabled you to make studied guesses, I suppose, about who was the best person that you might want. And those databases were the same for the BBC. Obviously, though, quite a few correspondents I spoke to did talk about not passing the names on of really good fixers.
Yes, yeah, so you'll share the okay ones, but the really good ones you try and keep to yourself.
Yeah.
The other thing I wondered about the whole time while going through the book was what this was all saying about international news. Because, as I already mentioned, news providers are doing less of it because of the expense. And that changes the nature of the foreign correspondent. There are fewer people who basically live in a city and get to know it well. How does that change the nature of the fixer?
Well, I think there's a lot of changes going on in international news gathering at the moment. There are some extremely successful fixers who will end up with reporting jobs because lots of organisations, including the BBC, are moving towards employing more local people. But for others, if there's more parachute journalism, people landing at the last minute, you know, that makes their life more difficult, but that's probably going to happen more as well, because more people, there are fewer staff correspondents, but there are probably more people travelling than ever before.
Colleen Morrell is the author of Foreign Correspondence and International News Gathering, The Role of Fixers. This is The Media Report. I'm Richard Addy.